So Maranatha. You know, Maranatha is a word that means the Lord's coming. So the proper response when I say Maranatha is a big loud amen. Maranatha. The Lord is coming. In verse, there in the last chapter of Revelation, He's coming quickly. He's coming quickly. You know, in the 1800s, there was a lot of virgins running around, if I could put it this way, proclaiming that the husband was coming. Soon. And they were out. I mean, it was a massive movement that Jesus Christ was coming soon. But He tarried. He took His time. And started nodding. And you know how it is in that state when you kind of, you're still there, but not quite. And you're trying to keep your eyes open, and all of a sudden they start. And that's how that experience was of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And my question is this morning, where are we? Is it that we're half asleep? Or is it that we're fully asleep? Because Jesus Christ is coming. You still believe that? He is coming. And He is coming soon. And we need to proclaim that. When we go to bed and we have to get up early in the morning, my wife says, should we set the alarm? And I say, no, I get up. Yeah, 6:30, I'm up. I don't need an alarm. But sometimes we do need an alarm. And sometimes, you know, then she asks, what would you like for an alarm? And, you know, this is the marvels of technology. Would you like a soft song to, you know, when 6:30 or 5:30, whenever we get up, we like a nice soft melody that comes on when you're sleeping. You know, that doesn't work for me. Because when that alarm rings and that beautiful music just starts out, it just puts me relaxed and I want to go back to bed. I need something like, you know, that type of alarm that it's so annoying that you have to get up and turn it off. And I don't, you know, not even a remote to go, no, you have to get up and turn it off. I think we need some type of an alarm this morning or in our life because Jesus Christ is coming. I remember the story of this man that was running toward traffic and he was waving his arms and they thought he was crazy. A crazy man running toward traffic and waving his arms and yelling and saying, stop, stop. Oh, yeah, yeah. They kept going and driving. Problem was that at the other end, the bridge was out. And if you're driving in a car, you do not see. You just, it kind of looks like it's going still, but you ended up airborne. Jesus Christ is coming. Maranatha. Amen. And He is coming quickly. You know, Adam and Eve, in the worst experience of their life, they had just eaten out of that tree. And how terrible that would have felt to have been kicked out of the garden. But in a situation, in a terrible time like that, God is good. And He gave them a promise. He gave them a promise. And that promise was fulfilled. During this reign of sorrow and terrible problems that they were having, there was a promise for Adam and Eve. And throughout the Bible, if you would, and I know many of you have read the Bible many times through, and it is in the Bible that we see, in the pages of the Bible that we see that theme running throughout. Jesus Christ is coming. Enoch, who was the seventh from Adam, he was just excited to know that the promises pointed to the second coming of Jesus Christ. If you would look at your Bible, if you have your Bible, would you please open it with me to Jude? Jude is that little book that sometimes hides, but doesn't hide that well because it's right before the book of Revelation. And it's Jude, verse 14 and 15. Listen to what Enoch believed and said. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His saints." For what? To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against. Enoch pointed to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it's the theme of the patriarchs as we go through the Bible about this great coming. Job, in that hour of sorrow that he was going through, Job understood one thing. Job 19:25, it says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that He shall stand at last on the earth." Did Job know about the second coming of Jesus Christ? Apparently he did. Job understood about that. The psalmist, David, there in Psalm 50, verses 1 through 9, he emphasizes the importance of the second coming of Jesus Christ. It was something that was true for them. Abraham rejoiced in the fact that he was able to see with the eyes of faith, he was able to see the consummation of God's promise, which will culminate in what? Culminate in the second coming of His Son, Jesus Christ. You and I should be thrilled to know that we are witnessing prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes. It is happening. It is not just a thought far off that, well, maybe. It is the reality of things. The Bible prophecies are being fulfilled. And yet, what are we doing? What are we doing? The disciples were, they were sad. They were sad at the fact that here there are two men in white robes are telling them that Jesus Christ has to leave them. Well, they already knew that. Jesus had been telling them. But the angels were here to tell them not that He was leaving. They were there to tell them that He was coming back in the way that they saw Him ascend. That is how He is going to descend. Now, you and I know it's going to be a little bit different, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming with all of His glory. And when Jesus Christ comes with all of His glory, watch out. Because that is a sight that you would not want to miss. And even if you did, you're not going to miss it anyways. Every eye shall see. I'll go a little bit further. Every ear will hear. Because it's going to be loud. I was going to say, if you don't like loud noises, you're going to have to turn your hearing aids down. But you know, by that time, we're going to be given new bodies and everything artificial is going to be... It's gone. My four little platinum screws that I have on my knee, they're gone. God is going to give us bodies as Jesus Christ. Paul called it, what did Paul call this second coming? He called it the blessed hope. The blessed hope. There in John 5:28 and 1 Corinthians 15:22. And here's the thing about this. In order for you to really get excited, in order for all of us to really get excited about the second coming of Jesus Christ, we must begin or continue to understand and know who Jesus Christ is and what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will continue to do for you. Jesus Christ is alive. And He is doing things that you and I don't even comprehend for the salvation of your soul. For our salvation. He keeps doing so many things. He will reunite us with all the believers. You know, I've had many invitations already. I have invitations to meet people at the north end of the city. I have invitations to meet people underneath the Tree of Life. And where do you want to meet? Think about it. One will have a, you know, like they have a, what do they call them? Class reunions. I think we're going to have church reunions. Right? All those that went to Valley View between these years will meet right underneath the Tree of Life at a certain time. Wouldn't it be great? Because there, you know, there are all thousands and millions, I hope it's in the billions of people that would have given their life to Jesus Christ, and to be there is just going to be an awesome experience. When Jesus Christ comes, there's things that are going to be happening that you and I have never seen before. Those of us that lived in California have experienced earthquakes. Maybe some of you that have not lived in California have experienced earthquakes. And some of you might have experienced, you know, a 6-pointer or a 7-pointer. And those are really, really scary. But when Jesus Christ comes, if you are not in the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, look out. The heavens will be shaken. The earth will be shaken. Every island is going to be moved out of its foundation. I hate to be in Hawaii at that time. And when all that is happening, there are certain things that I would just like to remind you. And I say remind you and review because I know that as Adventists, we have a doctorate when it comes to the second coming. We know it all, don't we? We know the signs. We know what's going to happen. We know what's going to take place. We know how and all the ends. We have a doctorate in second coming of Jesus Christ. Which is a little bit scary because then that's a problem when we think we know it all. But when Jesus Christ comes, there's that first resurrection that takes place. The first resurrection, because there are two resurrections. The first resurrection takes place where the dead in Christ rise up first. What a sight. The Bible says that the sea is going to give up its dead. I don't know how many from that site of the Titanic are going to just... I don't know how many from other accidents that are going to be just going to be resurrected from their place. And those that have been buried in different places, they're going to resurrect. And they're going to have the body, a new body, that the Lord would have given them. And then those of us, the Bible says, those of us that would have the privilege to be alive when Jesus Christ comes, we will be transformed in about that fast. I saw some of you blink. That's how we're going to be transformed, in the twinkling of an eye. And don't think that just because we're alive, we're going to be first to go. Sorry. The Bible says that together with those that have resurrected and those that were alive together will be taken up to meet our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And it will happen. It will happen. And I know that sometimes we have, you know, that the enemy wants to put doubt in our minds. The devil is good about this. Don't give the devil a chance to put doubt in your mind about Jesus' second coming. I've heard it. You have heard it probably. Well, we've been preaching so long, and look at, has Jesus come? Noah was asked to build a boat when it hadn't rained before. He was asked to build this big boat, probably out in the middle of the desert somewhere where water was not even close. And he was just asked to preach and to build. Did the Lord tell him how long? We know that it's 120 years, but the Lord did not tell him. Here it is. Noah preached and built. And then he went into the ark. And then that big door closed. And then it's when the testing times really started. Because the promise was that he would build a boat. The angel came and closed the door. What do you think Noah and his family expected to happen right then? Rain. The first day, okay, that's fine. Second day, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day. How would you have felt about the sixth day and hearing the people laughing at you? Hey, crazy guys, come out. But Noah had full trust and full faith in his Redeemer. Just like you and I should have full faith in our Redeemer. And if he's taking just a little bit longer than what you thought, that's okay. He is the one that's in control. He will come at the time that he appointed to come. He will come, how does that song say? In his time. And are we okay with that? In his time? I hope we are. A reality, though, that sometimes we want it In our time. In our time. But it is in His time that it will happen. So we're resurrected and we are given immortality. Immortality. And this is where that separation, the real true separations of the wheat and the tares take place. In the meantime, let me just mention something here. That it is a biblical thing that the wheat and the tares have to be together until they are separated. And who is the one that goes out and starts plucking the tares? It is God Himself, not you. Why has He not left that up to us? Because when the wheat and the tare are growing, it's kind of hard to tell them apart. Only God knows, really, in reality, who is a wheat and who is a tare. Only He does. So let's leave that aspect to God Himself. There are going to be an attitude, and you're seeing the attitude today. And that's another fulfillment of prophecy. The attitude that people will have toward the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's interesting how attitude changes. If you have a flat tire, ladies, if you had a flat tire and it's almost getting dark and you forgot your cell phone and you're out in the middle of nowhere, so to speak, and all of a sudden you see flashing lights, a police car, maybe even two. But if you have a flat tire, you're like, yes, thank you, praise the Lord, officer. But if you're stopped in that same place because you got caught speeding and the same lights come toward you, isn't it different? It's a little bit different. You know, I got to confess. Confession time. Confession is good for the soul. One day, as I was not here, it didn't happen here, but one day as I was driving back home after the worship service, we were heading home, and I'm driving and I look to my left and there's a lady that's coming out of her garage. You know how you sometimes press a button and it doesn't go quite? She stopped it and she went right. And she thought she could clear the garage, but she didn't. She got it about right here. I have to admit, it kind of looked funny. And I'm sorry to say, I did laugh. But it wasn't funny when it happened to me. Seriously, it's not funny. Why are you laughing? It's not funny. It hurts. And especially, you know, you get hit and then you look around to make sure your neighbors didn't see you. It's interesting how attitude changes when we're on the other side of things. And before Jesus Christ comes, there's going to be attitudes both from the world and from the church. Different types of attitude. The saints are praying, Lord, come quickly. The people of God are really, you know, a prayer meeting is not just another meeting for those that are waiting for Jesus Christ. A prayer meeting is really a prayer meeting where we come on our knees and we ask the Lord to come quickly. How many of you want to stay here? I don't. He has prepared a place. And when they see all this that is happening and all the problems and everything and all the signs, those that are waiting for Jesus Christ will say, like Isaiah 25:9 says, we have waited for Him. the saints actually love and are looking forward to the appearing of Jesus Christ. They are the ones that are making preparation for the coming of Jesus. And making preparations doesn't mean you're packing a bag, because you will take nothing from this earth. No photo albums. No CDs with the pictures of the albums. Nothing. You will take the character that Jesus Christ has perfected in your life. And that's about it. We need to prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ. Now the world, on the other hand, they will also be occupied, but they're going to be occupied in the sinful pleasures of life. Better yet, for the devil, they're going to be being occupied with doing not so bad things, but things that are taking the time that they should be using to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, good things that sometimes get in the way of doing God's service. Good things that sometimes get in the way of studying the Word of God. Doesn't the Bible say somewhere, study to show yourselves approved? Brothers and sisters, we need to be getting ready. And for those that are getting ready, we need to continue to get ready. Because Jesus Christ, this is not just a cliche or a saying that we have been saying for many years. Listen, this is truth. Jesus Christ is coming soon. So the world occupied with the sinful pleasures, and many, here's the sad part, many professed Christians, many maybe even professed Seventh-day Adventists are going to be caught off guard. Many are indifferent to the fact that Jesus Christ is coming. Indifference. Indifference. You know, that's a very dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing to be indifferent. I would rather see you either on one side or the other, but on the indifferent side, it's a dangerous thing. You know how kids say? Whatever. It's a dangerous thing to be in the whatever crowd. You love your church? Whatever. You believe Jesus Christ is coming? Whatever. And the world is going to be indifferent to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in their heart. Because the love of God is so strong for these people. He's so strong for all of us. He wants all of us, all of us. He wants the whole world to live with Him throughout eternity. So the world is indifferent. Some will actually make fun of the promises of His coming. Has someone made fun of you lately? Like, yeah, sure, where's Jesus? You keep preaching about this Jesus to come. Where is He? Where is He? I hear a lot of, we've always had earthquakes. We've always had natural disasters. And with a tone like, you know, a really smart, alecky tone, we've always had earthquakes. People will mock the promises of Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's okay. Because when they're mocking the promises of Jesus, I've learned that they're not really mocking the promises. It goes beyond that. They're mocking Jesus Christ. And those that mock Jesus Christ have also a reward waiting for them. So the world has this attitude of mocking. And then to all these people, it's going to be a sudden thing that the Lord is going to come. It's going to be like a thief in the night, the Bible calls it. The thief in the night does not call you or email you and say, "Hey, I'm going to go to your home. What time are you going to leave?" The thief does not say that, doesn't it? And when you get back home, surprise, surprise. So it will be in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Some are going to be like, "Oh, it's happening. It's happening." And here's where it gets a little bit more complicated and a little bit more sad. That there's going to be a large, large group that are going to be so shocked at the fact that they are not getting a second chance. This was when it was supposed to happen. A second chance. You want a second chance? It's right now. Right now. And we are getting ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Be ye ready also. Be ready. This is the admonition of Jesus Christ. It is not my admonition. It is not our church's admonition. It is the admonition of Jesus Christ Himself. Get ready. Why should you get ready? Because the owner of the vineyard is coming. Why should we get ready? Because the one that's been promised to the bride is coming. Don't be in the indifferent side. You're going to find yourself being surprised. You do not want to be surprised. The Lord has given us everything that we need to know here about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let's take time and be ready. Let's take time to be ready. Like that little game that my kids play, and they like to play it. Hide and seek, and at the end they say, "Ready or not? Here I come." The Lord is waiting. The Lord is being patient with us. The Lord, He's such a caring and compassionate God and patient. But just like the ark, there was one day that door had to close. And there's going to be one day that the Lord is going to get up. Jesus Christ Himself is going to make an announcement. And he's going to say, It is time. Let's go and get my children home. We need to be ready. And I pray that God, the God of mercy, the God of love, the one that controls the whole universe, I pray that He may work in your hearts, really, to really see what is happening out there. To really see what is happening in here. And to really come to an understanding that whether we like it or not, He is coming. If you found out that tomorrow there was going to be a major earthquake, if the Lord gave you that tomorrow there was going to be a major earthquake, or that tomorrow there was going to be a major disaster, what would you do? What would you do if you knew it was going to be global? I think some of us would start calling family members, right? I mean, if you were sure that that's what was going to happen. You would start calling family members and start saying, hey, listen, you know, earthquake, go out in a big field or something. I mean, we would try to do all we could to warn our families, to warn our friends, to warn everybody that we came in contact with. Jesus Christ is coming. Would you do the same? You know that He's coming. You know that we need to get ready. You know that things are going to be happening. You know that things are going to happen. Let's tell the world. Let's tell the world. Lift up the trumpet, says the hymn we're going to sing, and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. That's going to be our closing hymn, and I'm going to invite each one of you to please stand with me as we sing number 213. Lift up the trumpet, and loud let it ring. Let's stand together and sing it like we really mean it.
Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, you pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Echo and hilltops proclaim it play. Jesus is coming again. Coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Hear me, that wandering throng. Jesus is coming again. Tempest and whirlwinds, the anthem prolong. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Nations are angry, by this we know. Jesus is coming again. Knowledge increases, men run to and fro. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Maranatha. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the promise that Jesus Christ has prepared a place for us, a place that he wants us to live with him throughout eternity. Father, please prepare our hearts, soften our hearts, help us to really give of ourselves 100% to this calling to proclaim the coming of Jesus Christ. Be with us now throughout the rest of the Sabbath day. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.